Let us all humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this, your holy Sabbath day, thanking and praising your name for another opportunity to come before you. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you bestowed upon each and every one of us, for giving us the opportunity to come through this week and to another Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that your will would be done in our lives and that each one of us would be humbled before you, and that we would give glory to your holy name. We thank you for Yahshua, your son's great sacrifice, Father, and shedding his blood that we might have an opportunity at life everlasting. Father, forgive us for our sinful nature and our shortcomings. Help us to overcome the sins that so easily beset us as we, Father, try to cleanse our lives so that we would be able to participate in your Passover memorial. We, Father, thank you for that opportunity. Many cannot say that. So we thank you again, Father, for bringing us to this point in our lives where we can recognize the great sacrifice of Yahshua and his cleansing blood. So help us, Father, not to tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua, but to be faithful in all things. Open our hearts and minds to receive the implanted word, Father, so that we can truly show that we are your servants as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. So we thank you again for all that you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength, for Al's and Christine's safe passage to Alabama, and, Father, for your blessing of this ministry. Again, Father, we know that we've made the right choice in choosing you over the idols of this world, because all of the mighty ones of this world are idols, Father. You are the only true and living El. So help us, Father, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight, help us to be your servants. In Yahshua's name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. When we are told to get our house in order, this time of year, we cleanse our houses by getting rid of the physical leaven. We also look at our lives to rid them of the spiritual leaven as well. When a doctor tells you to get your house in order because you have a limited time to live, people start making drastic changes because they perceive that their time is short. My question for you today is your spiritual house in order, brethren? And this message is entitled, Is Your Spiritual House in Order? We should be leading a life in which nothing special needs to be done if Yahweh requires us to make the grave our new home until the resurrection. Are you treating people properly right now? Are you still holding grudges? Or still at odds with anyone, brethren? Can you honestly say that you love your enemy? You do know that your enemy has something against you. That's why they're your enemy. Our opening passage of Scripture, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. That's Matthew chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to them of old time, you shall not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, ha, I spit on you, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever shall say, you fool, because we know from Psalm 53:1 and Psalm 14:1, the fool says there is no Elohim, they don't believe in Yahweh, shall be in danger of Gehenna fire. If therefore you are offering your gift at the altar, if you're there at the feast day and you're ready to give your offering, and remember that your brother has anything against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are with him in the way, lest the adversary delivers you to the judge, and the judge delivers you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall by no means come out there till you have paid the last quadrant. And we can look at this spiritually, about agreeing with your adversary quickly while you're with him in the way, lest the devil delivers you to the judge, Yahweh, and the judge delivers you to the officer, Yahshua, and you be condemned. Okay? We have to get rid of any animosity that we would have against anyone. We can't live that way. We cannot hold grudges. Matthew 18, very familiar passage. Matthew 18, and we'll start in verse 15. And if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone. Very specific. You and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not hear you, take with you one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the assembly, the administration. And if he refuses to hear the assembly also, let him be to you as the Gentile and the publican, just any other sinner. Truly I say to you, whatever things you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And this is important, brethren. And whatever things that you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You have power. And this is something that we have to understand. We have the power to declare things and bring them to pass. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So it doesn't mean that it has to be hundreds or thousands. It just says two or three. So we don't have to worry about large numbers. Spiritual house in order, brethren. That's what we're concerned with. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 1. Paul was totally against the true faith. We have to look at where he was. He had them killed and put in prison for their faith and belief in Yahshua. In Acts 8, verse 1, it says, and Saul was consenting to his death. And we're talking about the death of Stephen, because Stephen was stoned. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the assembly, which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentations over him. But Saul laid waste the assembly, entering into every house and dragging men and women, committed them to prison. So he was truly against the faith. Yet the truth at that time, okay, you think about it, prior to Yahshua's advent was his people. And even after Yahshua's advent, it still was the Jewish people. They were the people of Yahweh. Okay? But the leaders had been blinded because they sought the glory of men instead of the glory of Yahweh. So we have to be able to see things in the proper perspective, because sometimes things can get blurry. So Paul, like I said, was a Pharisee, and he had been raised in the Jewish faith. Okay? He accepted that not having to use or praise Yahweh's name, because that's something that was handed down by the Sanhedrin and the leaders of Judaism at that time. Turn over to Acts 9. Acts 9, verse 1. We'll start there. But Saul, or Paul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of Yahshua, went to the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any that were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, it came to pass that he drew near to Damascus. And suddenly there shone all around him a light out of heaven. And he fell upon the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who are you, sovereign? And he said, I am Yahshua whom you persecute. But arise and enter into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. I've asked that question recently in many messages, what you must do. Back from the days when we were dealing with preparing ourselves for Yahshua, he told us in early book of Acts what you must do, repent and be baptized. And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but beholding no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw nothing. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and did neither eat nor drink. So he fasted for 3 days, a complete fast. And he was blinded so that he might receive his sight. Because there are many people who can see, but are blind. They think they know. Like I said, the truth. The Jewish people had the truth. They saw themselves as the purveyors of the covenant, because that covenant was made with Abraham. Okay? And they were descendants of Abraham. And they knew the Gentiles were just pagan worshipers. They worshipped the pagan mighty one. And they alone had the true worship. But see, this happens. People end up in idolatry because they believe that they have the truth. They believe that they have what Yahweh has offered. Let's go to verse 10 in Acts 9. It says, Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And Yahshua said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Yahshua. And Yahshua said to him, Arise and go to the street which is called Street, and inquire in the house of Yehuda for one named Saul, the house of Judah, for one named Saul, a man of Tarsus. For behold, he prays, and he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him that he might receive his sight. But Ananias said, Master, I've heard from many of this man how much evil he did to your saints at Jerusalem. See? He was destroying Yahshua's house. And here, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon your name. But Yahshua said to him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel to me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So not only did these other people suffer that Paul took advantage of, Paul was going to have to suffer for Yahshua's name's sake. And Ananias departed and entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Master, even Yahshua, who appeared to you in the way which you came, has sent me, that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did Paul have the Holy Spirit before that? Obviously not. And straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received his sight, and he arose and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. So he was baptized, okay, even after being a Pharisee, being of the circumcision. They believed that their own blood gave them salvation. That's why the blood of Yahshua can only cleanse us, brethren. What happens is that they were circumcised, you know, that little prick, that blood that is spilled when they receive circumcision is their salvation. They go to the mikveh to be cleansed. They baptize themselves often. But they only need to baptize themselves once in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. Only the blood of Yahshua can cleanse us, brethren. Is your spiritual house in order? Paul thought his house was in order. He was doing the work of the Sanhedrin. He was out there persecuting those followers of Yahshua. But he realized something on his way to Damascus, that he was blind, that he really could not see until Yahshua opened his eyes. What about us, brethren? Is our spiritual house in order? Can we say that we see? Are we doing Yahweh's will? See, Paul thought he was doing Yahweh's will. But then he realized that he was against Yahweh, against Yahshua the Messiah. It's so easy to point the finger at others, isn't it? But when you do so, you have three fingers pointing back at yourself. So we really have to think about what we do. See, we have to think about it. And that's the important part, because it's so easy to think that we are on the right road, the right path, until our eyes are opened. And we pray that Yahweh opens our eyes each and every day so that we would walk the proper walk. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of the Messiah? Shall I then take away the members of the Messiah and make them members of a harlot? By no means. Or do you not know that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he that is joined to Yahweh is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from Yahweh, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price, brethren. Glorify Yahweh, therefore, in your body. See, people believe that they are in the faith because they are going through the motions as far as keeping the commandment. But they also are harboring guilt, anger, and other problems against their brethren. And their house is not in order. The reason I read that passage is because we're supposed to be a temple to Yahweh. And it says here that if we are attached to any other, then we are in fornication spiritually, as well as, I mean, this is talking about physical, but it's also talking about spiritual. That's why we have to make sure our house is in order, that we're doing the right things, that we're worshiping the right mighty one. The Jews called Yahweh Hashem. They called him Adonai. But, you know, they should have been calling him Yahweh, just like they should have accepted the sacrifice of Yahshua. They should have chose the right lamb. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17, it says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of Yahweh and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of Yahweh, Yahweh shall destroy him. For the temple of Yahweh is holy, and you are such." It's important, brethren, for us to understand where we are spiritually. Paul had to find himself by losing himself. And he found himself, okay, after he had been blinded. Because he thought he knew. And like I said, they knew the law. They knew the commandments inside and out. But they were missing something. See, they had become idol worshipers. They wanted the glory of men more so than the glory of Yahweh. And I'm not talking about every one of them, because you have to look at the whole picture, you know, the whole ball of wax. When Daniel and the three young men went into Babylonian captivity and Jeremiah, they were righteous before Yahweh. Jeremiah was the son of a priest. He was called and he was persecuted by his own people because he told them to yield to Babylon. Because Yahweh was using Babylon as a rod of correction for the Jews. Just like he used Assyria as a rod of correction for the 10 northern tribes or Israel. So sometimes we have to accept that correction, even though we're right, you know, and being humble like Daniel was, he was blessed, even though he still, along with Ezekiel and all of them, went into captivity. He still was blessed. Because his spiritual house was in order. But you know what? He still went into captivity. Jeremiah did not. But he was put in prison. They, you know, they wanted to kill him, but Yahweh would not allow it. Yahweh's only going to allow whatever he wants to happen to you. He's going to allow it. But just like with Paul, he turned him around 180 degrees. And Paul got his spiritual house in order. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins, brethren, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries." If we're an adversary of Yahweh, we will be devoured. "A man that has violated Moses' law dies without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. Of how more severe punishment think you shall be judged worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh and has counted the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite to the Spirit of grace? For we know him that said, 'Vengeance belongs to me, I will repay.' And again, Yahweh shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim." It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living Elohim. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2. Verse 1, "And you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience." We were all there, brethren, at one time. We were all there. Yet even in our former affiliation, most of us thought we were saved. We thought we were right in keeping what we were doing, you know. And then we saw idolatry creep in. We saw the change in people, in the administration, the leadership, just like happened in days of Paul. They thought they were right. And even Yahshua told them, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, do as they say, not as they do, because they were hypocrites. Verse 3, among whom we also all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But Elohim, being rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, and that is a great love in giving his son, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with the Messiah. By grace have you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in heavenly places, in the Messiah Yahshua, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in the Messiah Yahshua. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in the Messiah Yahshua for good works, which Yahweh previously prepared that we should walk in them. He gave us an example, brethren. Verse 11, therefore remember that once you, the Gentiles in flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, talking about the Jewish people calling the Gentiles uncircumcision. Verse 12, that you were at that time separate from the Messiah. The Messiah, you were separate from him, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world. And truly, we were once there. We had no hope until Yahweh called us and gave us an opportunity to be a part of the commonwealth of Israel. I know a lot of people believe that we don't have to be Israel to be saved. But I'm showing you right here in the scriptures that we are being grafted in to a spiritual people, a spiritual Israel, those who rule without, those who are overcomers of this physical world. But now in verse 13, in the Messiah Yahshua, you that were once far off are made near in the blood of the Messiah. It's the blood of Yahshua that makes us or gives us that opportunity. For he is our peace, who made both one and broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to Yahweh through the torture stake, having slain the enmity by it. It's Yahshua's sacrifice that destroyed that enmity. And he came and preached peace to you that were far off, and peace to them that were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. That's one spirit, brother. And that's hard for people to understand. Is your spiritual house in order, brethren? That's my question today. Verse 18 says, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. one spirit. So then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Yahweh, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone. So we have to fit ourselves into that building because we're building blocks, spiritual blocks of this temple that is being built, the Beit HaMikdash, the new temple that's being built in these last days, in whom each building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Master, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Yahweh in the Spirit. I'm going to continue on over in Ephesians 4. This is still Paul talking. I therefore, verse 1, the prisoner in Yahweh, beseech you that you walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. What is it going to take, brethren? It takes love, one for another. Giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you were also called in one hope of your calling, one Master, one faith, one baptism, one El and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of the Messiah. So, how great is that gift? Yahweh has given each of us a down payment at baptism. I'll get into that a little later. John chapter 3. Is your spiritual house in order, brethren? That's the question of the day, because we're supposed to be partaking of the memorial, and we can't partake of it unless we're right. John chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, one of the leaders. The same came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from Elohim, for no one can do these signs that you do except Elohim be with him. So they knew he was from Yahweh. Yahshua answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, except one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. So Paul on that Damascus road had been born anew, because he was blind, and he was able, after Ananias put his hands on him, able to see the kingdom of Yahweh. And Yahshua changed his life from being the persecutor to being one that was persecuted. Nicodemus, in verse 4, says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yahshua answered, truly, truly, I say to you, except one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it will, and you hear the voice of it, but know not from where it comes and to where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Yahshua answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and understand not these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of, that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. And we want eternal life, brethren. That's why we believe in Yahshua. But we also believe, it says here, that no one has ascended into heaven but he that descended, and that's Yahshua. That goes for his mother on earth, Miriam. Catholics believe that she was ascended into heaven. That's not true according to the scripture. See? So they create problems. But the Bible is infallible. It's not a problem with the word. The problem is with man and their idol worship. See? For Yahweh, in verse 16, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. So Yahweh truly does love us, that he gave us his only begotten Son. For Yahweh sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He that believes on him is not judged. He that believes not has been judged already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And that was the problem during the days of Paul. They were teaching against Yahshua's name. They would not allow the people to use Yahweh's name. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. For their works were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, and comes not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that the works may be made manifest, that they have been worked in Yahweh. And that's what we want to do, brethren. We want our works to be made in Yahweh, because truly, he is our Savior, our Mighty One, the one that has given us our sight. John chapter 7, verse 45. The officers therefore came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "A man never spoke in this manner." The Pharisees therefore answered them, "Are you also led astray? Has any of the rulers believed on him or of the Pharisees?" And we know that answer is yes. Many of them believed on Yahshua. "But this multitude that knows not the law are cursed." See, the leadership, they took the wrong posture. Instead of humbling themselves, they just condemned. Nicodemus says to them, "He that came to him before, being one of them, does our law judge a man except it first hear from himself and knows what he does?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also of Galilee? Search and see that out of Galilee arises no prophet." But we know the scripture shows that Jonah was from Galilee in 2 Kings 14. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. It says, "Nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it." And that's where they held themselves up short. They wouldn't confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of Yahweh. And I'm telling you now that you got to confess it. For they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of Yahweh. I'm working and witnessing and dealing with some people who are right now still caught up in like our former affiliation and worried about getting put out. But this is what you got to get to, that point where you love the glory that is of Yahweh instead of the glory that is of man. You can't worry about, if you know what's going on is wrong, you got to step out of it. You got to make that move. You got to choose Yahweh first. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait for me, says Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. This is what Yahweh is going to do in a very short period of time. He's going to pour out his fire, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I change to the peoples a pure language. That they may call upon the name of Yahweh to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring my offering. And beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, brethren, is America. In that day shall you not be put to shame for all your doings, in which you have transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the middle of you your proudly exalting one, and you shall no more be haughty in my holy mountain. But I will leave in the middle of you an afflicted and poor people, and they shall take refuge in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel shall do no iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Fear has no part in the worship of Almighty Yahweh. Love does, but no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, even Yahweh, is in the middle of you. You shall not fear evil anymore. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands be slack. For Yahweh, your Elohim, is in the middle of you, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather them that sorrow for the solemn assembly, the feast days, who were of you, to whom the burden upon her was a reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict you, and I will save that, Yahshua, I will save that which is lame, and gather that which was driven away, and I will make them a praise and a name whose shame has been in all the earth. At that time will I bring you in, and at that time will I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the peoples of the earth when I bring back your captivity before your eyes, says Yahweh. Acts chapter 26. We'll start in verse 1. Acts 26. Paul's spiritual house was in order, brethren. He got it in order. Will Almighty Yahweh be able to join you in your spiritual house? Is His Holy Spirit abiding in you, brethren? Think about that. Like I said, Paul's spiritual house was in order. In verse 1 of Acts 26, and Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched forth his hand and made his defense. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, that I am to make my defense before you this day, touching all the things which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews." Remember back in Acts 9, where I read about Paul being, when Ananias said that, you know, Paul was against the people of Yahweh, Yahshua, and all the evil that he had done. And what did Joshua say? "I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." But he also said that he was going to go before kings. Okay? That he was going to be brought before kings. And here he is speaking before King Agrippa. Verse 3, it says, "Especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, therefore I entreat you to hear me patiently. My manner of life then from my youth up, which was from the beginning among my own nation, Jews, and at Jerusalem, known all the Jews, having knowledge of me from the first, if they are willing to testify that after the strictest sect of our religion, I lived the Pharisee. And now I stand to be judged for the hope of the promise made by Yahweh to our fathers, to which promise our 12 tribes earnestly serving Yahweh night and day hope to attain. And concerning this hope, I am accused by the Jews, O king. Why is it judged incredible with you if Elohim does raise the dead? I truly thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Yahshua, the Messiah of Nazareth. And this I also did in Jerusalem. I both shut up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my vote against them. I was a part of it. And punishing them constantly in the synagogues, I strove to make them blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities, upon which I journeyed to Damascus with authority and the commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on my way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goad.'" But too often that's what we want to do, brethren. We want to kick against the goad. "And I said, 'Who are you, master?' And the master said, 'I am Yahshua, whom you persecute. But arise and stand on your feet, for to this end have I appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness both of the things in which you have seen me and of the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, to whom I send you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to Yahweh, that they may receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared both to them of Damascus first and at Jerusalem and throughout all the country of Judea and also the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to Yahweh, doing works worthy of repentance. And we are not any greater, brethren. Is your spiritual house in order? Each one of us has to do the works worthy of repentance. For this cause, in verse 21, the Jews seized me in the temple and attempted to kill me. Having therefore obtained the help that is from Yahweh, I stand to this day testifying both of small to the small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said should come, that the Messiah must suffer, and that he first, by resurrection from the dead, should proclaim light both to the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus made his defense, Festus says with a loud voice, Paul, you are mad. Your excessive learning is making you mad. But Paul said, I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and sanity. For the king knows of these things, to whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things is hidden from him, for this has not been done in a corner. It's not been done in the dark. It's being done in the light, performed for all to see, brethren. Verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, with but a little persuasion, you would make me a despised believer. But guess what? For he loved the glory of man more than the glory of Yahweh. Or he would have made the conversion. And Paul said, I would to Elohim that whether with a little or with much, not you only, but also all that hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these bonds. In other words, he wanted everyone to be saved. And the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they had withdrawn, they spoke to one another, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or of bonds. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar. In other words, they wanted to let him go. But he appealed to Caesar because he had another king that he had to witness before. See, Paul had taken on a special task for Yahshua, and he fulfilled it. Is your spiritual house in order, brethren? Paul's house was in order. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, we're going to read verses 1 to 5. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice I heard was the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sing, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn this song except the 144,000. And we're talking about an exclusive group. Even they that had been purchased out of the earth. These are they that are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. Brethren, is your spiritual house in order? We We have a short time before this world passes away and the kingdom of Yahweh is set up. Is your spiritual house in order is the question of the day. I was counseling with some young people yesterday and asked them about baptism, and they responded they were not ready. You don't know when your life will be required of you, and you will never be perfect without His Holy Spirit. We are all a work in progress, brethren, but those of us who have received the down payment of the heavenly gift are ready, if we die tonight, to be resurrected to life because we chose Yahshua. Each of us must make that choice if we're going to be building blocks of the Beit HaMikdash in these last days. The temple of Yahweh is being put together right now. Make sure your spiritual house is in order. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Al if he would close with a word of prayer.
We know that we need to prepare our hearts and our minds to renew our covenant with Yahweh. We pray that you would help us, Father. Give us the wisdom we need. Help us to be ready for the Passover. Help us to get our houses in order. Father, we know that you're watching over us. You're loving us. You're encouraging us. We just thank you that you have allowed us and given us the technology to gather together in holy convocation on this Sabbath. It's good to hear your messages, to sing your praises, to be with people of other, of like precious faith. And so we ask Yahweh that you would bless this day, bless us, help us to sense your presence, forgive us of our transgressions and our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Create in us a clean heart, O Yahweh. Renew a right spirit within us. Fill us with your spirit so that we can have the gifts of the spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control as signs and testimonies that indeed the Holy Spirit does dwell in us. We pray for those that are on the prayer list, Father Yahweh. We pray that you would touch their bodies, touch their finances, their minds, their emotions. We just pray that you would open and illuminate their minds, the ones that don't know you, that you would show them that you're real, that you are Elohim. For we know that all the others are idols, figments of men's imaginations, wood, stone, and stubble to be burnt. We have chosen to serve you, Yahweh, the only true and living Elohim, the only one that has the power to make changes in our lives. So we give you the thanks, the praise, the glory, and honor for the opportunity to come before you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with our petitions, our needs, and our desires. And we know that it's because Yeshua and the sacrifice and the work that he did that made it all possible. It's not because of anything we do, not because of our own good merit or anything that we've done. Our striving is useless. We know that it's because of Yeshua's sacrifice that has made us to be blameless and without reproach before your eyes. For that we're truly thankful. So we ask your blessing be upon this day and this ministry, Father, as we want to be there for those that are seeking the truth. In the name of our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, Yeshua, as we say hallelujah. Final song is going to be song number 13. Song number 13. It might take me a little bit because I have to shut my computer down for the battery. I forgot to get a charger. So I will. Song number 13, which is "You're Worthy of My Praise." Hallelujah.
I worship all of my heart. give you all my